All right. Well, it is good to see you out there. Now, some people did know that I was filling in the band today, but we also had the baptism. So I wondered if there's a little pool going on, whether or not I'd make it in time. So, you know, I think that's the quickest I've ever changed clothes. And I'm not kidding. There's a little wet spot right over there where my... where. Well, so he had already said that okay, well, there you go. That was kind of, we are happy that you are here. It is Easter. I love Easter. You have survived and made it to this day. But one of the things that people have been missing, and let me tell you, we're going to be in Matthew 28 today, and while you're turning there, I want to tell you that some people have been telling me that they have been missing memes of the week, and it's Easter, so we are going to do some memes of the week today in honor of Easter and this special day. And so the very first one is not about Easter, but it is about something that happened this past week. Here, I saw this meme, and I thought, oh, that's not true, but then it is so true. Here's what this says. April 1st, April Fool's Day, right? It's the only day of the year that people critically evaluate things they find on the internet before accepting them as true. You know, there, one of the ways that I one time heard a guy talk about humor, and he said one of the things about humor, one of the ways that you create humor is there's a little bit of truth in that situation. Okay, let's get on with that one. But here you go. It is Easter, and you typically think of Jesus first, right? Of course, everyone goes, Jesus first. We're in church, right? Just say that. But then you think of the Easter Bunny. So here you go. Here's the Easter Bunny bringing joy to children in 1955. I gotta be honest, that's fairly terrifying, y'all. I am a 46-year-old man, and if I was sitting on that Easter Bunny's lap, I'd be crying right along with him, I gotta tell you. This next one is for all those older teenager things, you know, because it says this. It says, when your kids are too old, but you still want an Easter basket. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And the college students go, that's the greatest Easter basket ever. I haven't cleaned the bathroom since October. This next meme, you know, you always have the Easter peeps. You always have marshmallow peeps. I wish this was a made-up thing, but this is a real picture. And it says, when the dollar store imitation peeps had a rough trip over from China. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. One last meme, and as a child of the 80s, I had to close with this one because I love this one. I'm looking at Eric Deal right there. Eric and I love this one. Are you ready for this one? Here's this last meme. Easter in the front, party in the back. I have never seen a bunny rabbit with a mullet, but that looks like a bunny rabbit with a mullet. All right, so we are going to be in Matthew chapter 28 today. And there's just something about holidays and special days that mean a lot to us, right? I want you to be brutally honest. I know it's kind of a large number here, but just a small handful of people. When you hear the word Christmas, what's the first word that pops in your mind? I have no idea what any of you said.
Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus, okay. Trees, presents, Santa, Jesus, all that kind of stuff. When you hear Thanksgiving, I thought I would hear a whole bunch of turkeys and one cowboy, Dallas Cowboys over there. I was surprised not to hear a Dallas Cowboys for Thanksgiving. Y'all, when it comes to Easter, this is the word that I love, the word that we've got right there on the screen, the word risen. This word, risen, is what Easter is all about. This is truly what we celebrated with the young ladies being baptized today. It's about how Jesus came to earth. He was fully God and fully human, lived a sinless life, was put to death on a cross, but rose again from the grave 3 days later. That risen is the foundational thing to not just Easter, but everything Southside does. Paul actually says it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:17. He actually said this. He said, if Christ has not been raised, if Christ is not risen, if Jesus did not rise from the grave, notice what Paul said. Your faith is worthless. Everything hinges on that word right there, risen. Everything hinges on the resurrection of Jesus.
Jesus was put to death for our sins because he's fully human, but he rose from the grave because he was fully God. And he was fully human and fully man all at the same time. And if your brain can't wrap around that, that's okay, because none of ours can this side of heaven. We truly can't. But if risen is the key word, and that's the thing that matters, I want us to look at the story. Let's look and see what actually happened on that first Easter morning. And we're in Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read in verses 1 through 7. And it says, After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb where Jesus is. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. The angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you." Now, I love this scripture. I mean, honestly, all of Scripture is beautiful, but there's just something about those seven verses that just capture the heart. And I picture what it was like for these ladies to go up to a tomb, and I want you to think about what they have been going through. They have spent the last 3 years or so of their life dedicated to Jesus, and they have seen him as this Messiah. They have seen him as this larger-than-life figure, and the unthinkable happened. They saw him put to death. The one thing they didn't think was going to happen, they didn't think that this would be where their story ended. And they think it's over, and they think it's done for. But it's not. But they don't know that yet. And I imagine these ladies, as they're walking to the tomb, when they get to the tomb, I wonder what they're thinking as they're walking. I kind of wonder, is there a little bit of small talk going on? Or is this just one of those silence walks, because they're just so dejected, because they're so torn up, because they just feel so beat up by what's happened? I kind of suspect if there were words said, it's probably just a few words, because the pain is still so fresh, the wound is still so raw. They are going to Jesus' tomb. But when they get there, it looks a little different than they think it's going to look. An angel has rolled back the stone, and we're going to talk about that stone here in a little bit. But an angel has rolled back that stone and is sitting up on top of it. And I imagine from the start, they start, "Well, what is this?" they're nudging each other, going, "Is that an angel? I think that's an angel, right?" Or it's probably really obvious, and they're going, "Am I hallucinating? What's going on? Is this an actual angel?" And the angel then speaks to him. And to me, I want to talk about four words today as we talk about the importance of this word risen. I want to look at four other words that the angel says to these ladies. And the first word is just simply this: come. Notice what he said to them, and I want you to see that here. Starting in verse 5, the angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." That first word, come, I love that word. They come to this place not expecting to see what they think they're going to see. And now, rather than heartbroken, they're probably scared, because there's an angel sitting there in front of them. They're keeping their distance, and they're going, "Do we run for it? Do we not?" And the angel goes, "Come." Imagine he probably did something like this. I don't know. Do angels use their hands as much as we do? I have no idea. I would be like, "Hey, come here. Come over here." Yeah, I'd be doing it real dorky, like, "Hey, come on." Right? But notice the word "come" is there. You know what the word "come" is? It's an invitation, isn't it? Remember when you were a little kid, you would love to get invitations to things, right? You get an invitation to Tommy's birthday party, and it would, you know, your mom would put it up on the fridge, and you'd see that, and it would just get you full of excitement and all that other kind of stuff. You know what we get invitations to as adults? Jury duty. Doctor's appointments, you know, we it's not quite as exciting, right? But, the greatest words I think any adult can hear is, "Hey, why don't you come over? We put a brisket on the smoker." Yes, right?
We love that. We love invitations. We love being invited to something. And here, where these ladies want to probably run away from it, they want to go, I don't know what's going on here. This is scary. This is unusual. I just don't know what to do. The angels go, come. Right? The first word, come, it's an invitation. There's something about Jesus being resurrected that is huge to every single person on the planet. Everybody has to deal with the resurrection of Jesus one way or another. And just ignoring it and pretending that Jesus didn't exist, that he didn't die, he didn't live a life, he didn't rise from the grave, that is a decision in and of itself. And the angels from the start are saying, come. They're inviting them. Not just this invitation to come, because I love this, because it's this picture of like, come to Jesus who can give you rest. Come to Jesus who has conquered sin, he's conquered death. They don't know any of this here, but the angel saying come is so much bigger than they could ever grasp at this moment. Come to the one who has conquered sin. He's conquered death. He has given you the ability to be adopted into God's family. You can become a child of God. You can have a place in eternity in heaven with Jesus. This invitation, come, is so much bigger than they ever realized in that moment. Come to the one who can forgive. Come to the one who can give you peace. Come to the one who can give you eternal life. Come to Jesus. But then you have that second word. Notice they didn't just say come. What did they say? Come and see. Specifically, come and see the place where he lay. There's a difference between looking and seeing, isn't there? Right? You could see something. And or you can look at something and it just kind of goes one way or another. But this idea here, when they're saying, come and see, it's this idea of looking intently. Notice they're not saying, you know, come, Jesus is gone. They go, come and see, Jesus is gone. Come and see the place where he was laying and he's not there anymore. Come and see it with your very own eyes. Don't take our words for it. Don't take anybody else's. Come and look yourself. Come and see. Come and investigate. Is very much this idea of what's going on. It's this idea of come and investigate it, come and look at it. You know, there's some fascinating things about the tomb and where Jesus is. The previous chapter in Matthew 27, you actually see four things that I want to point out here, four things that are a huge part of all this. The first one is just simply this, that the body was wrapped in about 75 pounds of spices, and it was wrapped in linen. The 75 pounds actually came from John chapter 19. You know that. Is where we know that from. But what happened is when Jesus died, they wrapped him tight in all these linens, and they put some spices. It's not a full-on embalming at this point. This is just the Sabbath is coming, and they can't do any more on the body like they would normally do because the Sabbath is coming. So they're just trying to get the body preserved enough that they can come back on Monday. They can come back on Sunday, I'm sorry, after the Sabbath ended, that they can come back and do the proper stuff. But we know from John it's about 75 pounds of spices. So picture this, okay? Remember when you were a kid and you would roll up really tightly in a blanket, you know? You'd grab outside and you'd roll up real tight and you can't move? That's kind of the picture we have with Jesus here. But not just that, but he's got 75 pounds of spices with him and all that, okay? The second thing was that there was this great big stone that they rolled over the tomb entrance. Now, the way that their tombs worked is it would be basically like a little cave. And that would be recessed back into the rock. They would lay the bodies there, and they had hollowed out little alcoves where they would chipped away the rock, and there were little places to lay bodies. And so they would lay Jesus there, and they would use these stones, think about it, to keep animals out of the tombs, to keep the smell inside, frankly, to be honest. They would use these tight-fitting little stones. But it's got to be a tight enough stone that the animals can't move it. So these stones, on average, would be about a ton. They'd be about 1,500 to 2,000 pounds, right? You're throwing all that? So Jesus gets wrapped up tightly in all of this. This stone gets rolled up in front of that place. And notice the third thing I have there is that the stone had a seal on it. What you know from Matthew 27 is that after Jesus is put into the tomb, some of the people come up to Pilate and they go, hey, you know this guy said he was going to rise again? This guy said he would rise from the grave? So here's what we need to do. We need to put some soldiers there. We need to put trained soldiers there to guard this. Pilate said, okay, you do that. We're going to talk about the guards here in a minute. But they would take this and they took a seal. They would take like a little rope and they would take a little wax seal and they would put that in there. And if this was broken, the penalty for that was actually death. So this seal is put up over the tomb. And then they have a Roman guard, what they call a Roman guard. Roman guard was 16 soldiers. 16 soldiers that were now in charge of watching the tomb. Probably what they would do, they would all be there. They would probably take shifts. Probably maybe, you know, during overnight, eight of them might sleep while four of them are on guard. But 16 soldiers are most likely what's here guarding this tomb. You with me on all that? This is what the angels are inviting the ladies to come and investigate and look. They go, look, his body isn't there. It's no longer wrapped up in these cloths. They actually get to see those cloths themselves with their own eyes. They see the stone, this 1-ton stone that's been moved off to the side. The seal has been broken. And the guards, when they first get there, the guards, we know this from the other gospels, the guards have been knocked down. Some of them have run off and all that kind of stuff. They witness and they see all of this. What's the important thing about all of this? Their invitation was, look, you need to come, but you need to see for yourself the evidence of what is here. There's a lot of people that don't want to believe in Jesus. But even scholars that don't want to believe that Jesus was God in the flesh who died on the cross for our sins and wants to change your life and give you love and peace, there's a lot of people that don't want to believe that. But even those guys, even the scholars don't doubt that Jesus, that this happened to Jesus, that he was a real man, that he was crucified. There is way too many external sources from the Bible that prove all of these facts that we have just seen right here. And here the invitation is, look, come and see for yourself. See the fact that he isn't here, that he is risen from the grave. But then they go on. There's a third word I want to talk about. That third word, he says, he is not here, he's risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly. That's a great word, isn't it? Go. One of the shortest words that you hear that. I don't know about you, but every time I hear the word go, I picture like I'm supposed to start running or something, right? If I'm just standing here and we're just going, I go, go! Yeah, some of you weren't even paying attention. You went, someone said go. What are we supposed to do, right? Notice go is very much this idea of it's not just about staying where you are. It's not just about being the same person you were. This knowledge that you have come and seen, you have seen that Jesus rose from the grave, this should change you. It's this idea about going. It's about how God has something more for you. And Jesus is alive, and their message is to go. Go to the empty tomb. Go and see that. But then you leave that place, right? There are a lot of intellectuals and people that go, yeah, okay, so Jesus died on a cross, but what does that mean? If you believe that Jesus was a real person who died on a cross and that's as far as you go, you've missed the boat. Because the point is that he rose from the grave. And what that means is a huge, huge, huge deal. Because what that means is that he conquered death. He was truly God in the flesh, and he did everything that he said he was going to do. And we've been told to go. Go, spend our lives learning more about him. Go to him at prayer. We get to talk to him as our Savior, as our Lord. We get to go and we get to live, let Jesus live through us. We get to go and let this world know that they may be broken, they may be hurt, but that's okay, that there's a God who loves them, even though they're broken and hurt. Even though they feel so beat up from life, that there is a God who loves them, and we get to go. And they said, not just go, but he said, go and tell his disciples that he is risen from the grave, from the dead, and indeed is going ahead of you into Galilee, and you're going to see him there. Notice it's this picture about go, but it's also about telling. I love this picture. Incidentally, ladies in that day and age, it was a pretty messed up world. Females weren't even considered credible witnesses in court, which is pretty messed up. And it's pretty backwards from the way things really should have been. But here, these angels, the first people they talk to is ladies, and they go, look, you need to go and tell his closest friends, his disciples, that he has risen just as he said. Go and tell them what you have seen. Tell them about the tomb being empty. Tell them about the grave clothes that you got to touch, you got to see. Tell them about the angel that was sitting up on the stone. Tell them about the guards that had run off in fear, right? Go and tell them about all of this.
But there are a lot of people that truly think that Jesus was just a guy just like you and me. He died. He didn't really rise from the grave. So here's the thing. Those facts, those four facts that I shared with you earlier about how he was wrapped in the grave clothes and the 75 pounds of spices, how they put the big stone in front of the tomb, how they had sealed the tomb, how they actually had a Roman guard there. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, if this didn't happen the way Matthew 28 says, then what actually happened? And the most important question anyone could ever ask themselves is, did the resurrection of Jesus really happen? And notice this thing about go and tell. It's about go and talk about the evidence that you've seen. But I want to pretend for a minute that Jesus wasn't who he said. He wasn't God in the flesh. Let's pretend for a minute that he was just a guy like you and me. How do you account for all of these stories? Here are different theories, alternate theories, if Jesus didn't actually rise from the grave. The first one is just simply this, that the ladies went to the wrong tomb, right? It's a pretty easy thing to understand, right? The ladies would have gone to the wrong tomb. Now, do you see some problems in that theory? Right? What are the problems with that theory? Well, that also means that they sealed the wrong tomb. That also means that the guards were guarding the wrong tomb, which would be they should be put to death for that in the Roman Empire, right? There's a lot of problems with that theory. Not to mention the fact that there are these grave clothes actually sitting inside the tomb as well, too. The fact that they went to the wrong tomb, that theory just doesn't really hold much water. But then you have this idea about, okay, Jesus didn't actually die, he just passed out, right? Now, I want you to picture this. This is literally a theory that some people say, oh, Jesus didn't actually die, he just passed out. So he never died, so he never rose. You with me on all that? I mean, logic would say, okay, maybe he didn't actually die. But picture this. How does that fit in with the fact that he had been beat up so bad, he had lost blood, he had been flogged, hit 39 times with basically a cat of nine tails on his back, and it got shredded. He's lost so much blood. He is hung on a cross until they think he's dead. They pierced his side. He has lost so much blood and water. Now he sits without food and without water in the tomb where they put him, and he's in the dark there for a couple of days, and he wakes up and he goes, fights his way through 75 pounds of spices and linens, moves the 2-ton stone all by himself, beats up the 16 guards that are there, and he didn't actually die. He just passed out. Yeah. I'm not the smartest person in the world. I'm not even close to the... I'm probably the dumbest person in here, and I'm smart enough to know that theory doesn't hold any water, right? The next one. So his body was stolen. You actually see in Matthew there that the guards, the temple priests and all that kind of thing, they pay off the guards to say his disciples came and stole the body. Okay, well, there's three theories on the stolen. One is, first of all, that the disciples would have done it. All right, so let's talk about the disciples. The guys that, when Jesus is put to death, do you remember where they are? They run off for their life when Jesus gets arrested because they're afraid that they are next, and they are in hiding. Not to mention the fact that there's only 11 of them at this point. They would have shown up at the tomb, beat up trained Roman soldiers, 16 of them, and these guys are fishermen, you know, they would have come with, you know, nets and rocks, fighting soldiers, trained soldiers with swords, and no, it just wouldn't happen. That theory doesn't hold any water. But two other groups could have stolen the body, the Jews and the Romans, but they're the ones who wanted him put to death. I mean, there's no reason that they would have stolen the body, right? It just wouldn't have happened. They would have been like, okay, Jesus didn't rise from the dead. We stole his body. Look, here's his body. But no one trots out that body, right? So this third one, the fourth one actually, the people who saw Jesus hallucinated. Because you actually see that Jesus appeared to people for 40 days. At one point, 500 people all at the same time. So people go, oh, that wasn't really Jesus. That was just a Matt's hallucination. Really? 500 people hallucinated all the same thing? Not to mention the fact, if you really want people to believe it's a hallucination, do you know what you have to do? Just take them to the dead body and they can see for themselves. Oh, hey, Jesus didn't actually rise from the grave. But there was no body and they couldn't do that. The theory that's become most prominent in our day and age is they say that the early church made up the story. That they made this up in the 3rd or 4th century that Jesus rose from the grave. That disputes all the writings that we see in that day and age where people
this becomes such a huge thing. And 30 years from now, actually even less than that, in about just a few years from now, the disciples are going to start being put to death. And if they made the whole thing up, do you think they're really going to be willing to die for a lie? I mean, seriously, you really think that so many people would have died for a lie? Not to mention people going, no, I saw him. I saw him with my own eyes. I was there. All these theories just really don't hold up any water. Do you know why? Because the message of Easter is come and see. Look with your own eyes. Look at the evidence. And when you take a good hard look at it, you reach this conclusion that, hey, Jesus really did rise from the grave, just like he said he would. And why did he do that? So that you and I could be forgiven of our sins. So we could be forgiven for all those things that we have done wrong. So that we could have a place in heaven. So that we could be adopted into God's family. All of that happened so that you could know love and peace and freedom and a relationship with God that you can't have any other way. Which is where the go and tell part of Easter comes in. If you have ever accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are God's ambassador walking and talking to the world this week. That is awesome, and that is amazing, and that is beautiful. So here, I want to say to those that have never asked Jesus into their life, never asked him to be your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you, come, look. Look at the evidence. Look at the facts. Look at what actually happened. Investigate it for yourself. Look at it. See it. Pay attention to it. Don't just give it a cursory thing, but really, truly look at it and see and figure out, is this Jesus thing for real? Is this God thing for real? Excuse me. And then for those of you that are Christians, you have the incredible opportunity to go and tell someone about him this week. Come and see and go and tell. Those are the four words of Easter that mean the world to me. And all of it is tied up in that word, risen, because Jesus truly rose from the grave. I want to echo the words of the Apostle Paul. If Jesus hasn't risen from the grave, then everything we do is worthless. But it's not, because we get to look, we get to come and see for ourselves, and then we get to go and tell others about him. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. We thank you that we don't have to accept this blindly, but we can truly look at the facts. We can see where the truth leads to. And it leads to a cross, but it leads to an open tomb, an empty tomb, where Jesus is no longer there. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifice that he made on our behalf, so that we could know love and peace, so that we could know family, so that we could be restored into a right relationship with you. And it all happens because of the risen Savior. Thank you for Jesus, and thank you for that. For your name we pray. Amen.